And welcome to That Horror Cast. I'm Mallory Smart.
And I'm Dmitry Samarov.
On today's episode, we finally discuss the 1988 horror movie Child's Play. That's right, Chucky, also known as Charles Lee Ray. In the movie, when Charles Lee Ray needs to get a quick escape from cop Mike Norris, he takes his soul and buries it into a playful, seemingly good guy doll. Little does he know, a little boy by the name of Andy Barclay will soon become his owner. Charles confides in Andy while he commits numerous murders, and once the adults finally accept Andy's story as truth, it's too late. So, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, my mic thing actually, like, I'll just, like, say a little bit.
Yeah.
I was recording for Talking Book.
Oh, yeah.
And I got really pissed off because Blent is one of those really weird neat freaks. And he put those, I don't know what you call them, like, zip ties on the cords of my microphones so they wouldn't kind of be all over the place. I don't know if you've seen my setup. Yeah.
Oh, to make it shorter, you mean?
Yeah.
To make the, yeah.
Make it look all neater and everything. He insisted that he put enough slack on there if I needed to pull the microphone. For some reason, I did better if I was standing up and holding the mic as if I was reciting it as opposed to sitting down and reciting it. And I wasn't able to. So I ended up cutting all the zip ties off. I actually had to like tell him when he woke up. I was like, I have signed to admit I cut them all. Even he was just like, why would you do that? And I was like, whatever. And then when he came home later that night, he did it again. And yeah, I had issues trying to reconnect with this piece of shit. All because someone is an annoying neat freak.
Well, it's been a nice marriage. I guess you have to get divorced now.
I know. I think we finally crossed that line.
This is it. Irreconcilable differences. Zip ties on the microphone. This is the straw that blew, you know, that broke the camel's back.
It's one of those things where, like, you know, we both compromised a lot in this arena that the way we are. I would not say I'm a messy person. I'm into organized chaos. Whereas that gives him anxiety for some reason. He can't stand it. Occasionally he'll come home and say, "Did you move the TV?" And I'll even have to be like, "I don't think so." And he'll actually get like this little balance thing to check if I moved the TV. He's like, "Yeah, it moved. I need to fix it."
Well, I like there. I will tell you. There's a spectrum of that. I was briefly married to a person who would rearrange the furniture, like in the whole room. I would come home and all the living room furniture would be in a different spot.
I'd get pissed off at that. I'd be annoyed.
That was really unsettling. Like I did. Because she was constantly trying to figure out the way she wanted it, you know, and she was never satisfied, so she would change it all the time. That's just how she lives.
See, I just did that a lot as a little kid, in my bedroom. Then I don't know what it was then. I just loved being like, how can I put my bed turned this way or whatever.
But how often?
You know, it was definitely one of those weird things that I did a lot as a little kid, like up until I moved out of that house. And then I was just like, that's kind of a weird habit. I shouldn't do that.
Yeah, it's insane making when somebody else does. It's like,
but like if it's your own living space, like it's just your room. It's like it's not bothering anyone else.
Yeah, I mean common, you know, it's I mean, it's not quite gaslighting, but kind of. It's like, no, this is always this way. Nah, she wouldn't say that, but like.
That would be funny, though.
Yeah.
It would be the most extreme of gaslighting. Just make you come home confused every single day.
No, I'm sure there are people that do that. It's you know, it's emotional torture. But yeah, I rarely move things. if I move things, it feels like a big deal, you know, like where like it's months and months where I notice something, like some piece of furniture would be better somewhere else.
For and I us, think about it. It's a discussion now.
Yeah. Now. He has to keep all the zip ties out of sight where you can't be re-traumatized by them.
Oh, I literally was just like, I need you to do these zip ties over again so I could show you what you were doing wrong. He's like, I was doing it right. And I was like, no, I need to have slack with this microphone so I can pull it, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So then he redid the zip ties for me. He was just like, I just hate seeing wires. And he apparently isn't the only person. I remember when we got our first apartment, I'm telling you, he is so weird when it comes to design and furniture. He took a picture of our new TV, and it was hung on the wall, and you could see the cord. Someone else commented, and that was back when we used Facebook, that looks really lit, except for that cord, man. And even it was driving Boo crazy. He was just like, I know that goddamn cord. I hate seeing the cords. It's like, what the hell's the matter with the cord?
Yeah. Yeah, it's within reason, but yeah, it becomes a pathology. I don't know. Are you getting a little bit of static when you talk?
No, I don't hear anything.
Really? So, I hear a little, like, just like when you talk, I'm getting a little bit of static. Oh well, it's not big. It's just a little bit. It's weird.
That's very interesting. I guess we'll find out when we get like my. Download this, and I'll just be like, oh my god, that is pure static.
Uh-huh.
And then it'll be like, this episode never existed then.
Well, it's the evil spirit of Charles Lee Ray doing this.
You know, I was going to say, like, it plays into how I always fucked around with my bedroom, you know? My parents never knew what was going on in there. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Because you were just hiding shit from your parents. So there's a method.
I wish there was more of a method, but yeah, if I did move stuff around or whatever, I would occasionally find a Chucky doll in there because of my douche big brother.
Oh, he had one?
Yes, he had one.
And is that the root of your fear of this movie?
It's, you know, I'm not quite sure where it came from. Him and my cousin, they're right around the same age, and they definitely had, like, you know, when I don't know if this is a thing anymore, but when little boys hang out with each other, they have their like little boys club. Like they had a fort once that they would never like let me come and hang out with them and shit. Yeah, so they always played
video
games.
It's like on Little Rascals. It's the He-Man Woman Haters Club.
Exactly. You so they loved trying to freak me out. And my cousin had a Chucky doll. Matt had a Chucky doll. And they loved just moving it around. It's actually, I hate it because these days for Christmas, they have that really weird thing, Elf on a Shelf. And I feel like that's almost an equivalent where it's like, why would you fuck with your kids like that? That's scary.
Yeah. But you also commented that when you finally did see it, you were surprised how big he was. So in the movie, so their doll was smaller than that, wasn't as big as that. Is that Chucky in the movie? Was it smaller?
I would say that the actual Chucky doll that my brother and my cousin had, it couldn't have been bigger. I can't think of another equivalent to size this up than like a baby doll kind of size.
Yeah, in the movie it's very big. It's a very big doll for a kid, you know, like, oh shit.
Someone calling you?
Yeah, and yeah, it's so much spam lately. I'll turn the ringer off. Sorry, it's all spam all the time.
Dimitri's got that hotline bling.
Yeah, right.
But no, I remember the minute I saw that doll, I was like, "God damn, that's huge! I wouldn't buy my kid that creepy ass doll."
I mean, he's almost as big as the kid.
Dude, you know? He's like. I was trying to measure. I was like, is he as big as a kid? Is he bigger? Like when she tucks him in with the bed, in the bed with him.
Yeah, they look the same. Yeah. That's what makes it, I mean, it adds to the creep factor for sure.
I just kept thinking, I was just like, I don't know if I want to be a parent, but if I am a parent, I am never getting my kid a doll that's like capable of killing my child.
Well, let's hope not. That would make you a bad parent.
That would be.
That would definitely, Classify you as a bad parent.
A very cool detective like Chris Sarandon, who is skeptical but eventually goes with it.
Well, he doesn't go with it. He's attacked by the fucking doll. That's what convinces him.
Yeah, same with the partner at the end.
Once the doll starts like poking his giant knife through the seat of the back seat of the car of the driver's side car, you know, seat. That's what convinces stupid old Chris Sarandon that it's real.
It is hard, I'm sure, to convince people. I think it's the doll.
Yeah. Well, all the people that doubt it that die or are hurt.
Yeah.
Starting with the babysitter girl lady. You know? Okay,
if there is anyone who should be held accountable in this movie, it should be her.
Really? It's not...
Yes, I'm aware that we're discussing a serial killer that
it's not Charles Lee Ray who inhabits the doll through voodoo.
I'm gonna say it's the bestie who is like, hey, I found out that there's a bum selling the doll. I know you're shit poor, but let's go get the doll from the hobo. It's cool.
Hey, you know what? I wouldn't blame her. Hobos steal perfectly legit merchandise and resell it for cheaper. Like, it's not like a hobo has evil intent. The hobo just wants money. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, I was at the bookstore yesterday helping Joe. I've been going to the bookstore to Tangible and sorting books.
Ooh, yay.
It's fun. It's meditative. I found my happy place. It's putting books on a bookshelf.
Oh, I do that occasionally. Again, mind fucking. I rearrange my books all the time.
Oh, yeah, but that's just for you. Like, Belen probably doesn't even care, right?
I don't think he even notices.
Right? Does Belen read?
He does, but I make sure there's this like one shelf that's devoted to his books.
Oh.
So it's like that shelf never changes, but the rest of them do around it.
No, but like at Tangible, it's ever changing because it's all just stuff that comes in. It's all used books, pretty much.
I want to come rearrange books.
It's fun. Well, he always needs help. You should. He's there every day except Wednesday afternoons when he goes to see his folks. His folks are still alive. They're in the south suburbs. So he goes and sees them, but other than that, he's there all the time by himself, and stuff comes in all the time. He'd be happy for the help.
Well, I think I will definitely try and do that. And hey, he won't be alone on next Friday when this episode airs.
That's true. The day this episode airs, we have a book release, and it's not about your book. Is not about Chucky, not directly, anyways.
Thank God it's not.
Although, unless you re-edited it really quick.
I should ask like John, my publisher, and be like, can you please just add in this book is not about Chucky, just right in the beginning.
Yeah, there's a new blurb from your good pal Dimitri. This book is not about Chucky. 2 stars.
Like, I needed more killer doll, sorry.
Yeah, where was the killer doll I was promised in all the press materials? Yeah, so but really, like, did your siblings and your siblings' friends scare you off this? Like, did they tell you this is like the most terrifying movie ever made or something?
You know,
why did you resist it?
I resisted it, honest, because okay, it happened within the same year as the movie Leprechaun came out.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Sure.
Yeah, I haven't watched the whole thing. I just remember like one scene with Jennifer Aniston, and it was like really creepy as shit, and I was obviously far too young to watch that movie.
Yeah.
So I was just on like beginning my journey of horror films, and that's when I was really, really afraid of them.
But these are movies, I mean, these are movies made before you were born.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Child's Play's from 88.
I think Leprechaun is from like 94 or something. Yeah,
so you're no, but young. You said the same time, like it was just like they were in the same section of the video store or something, or like why did you group them together? Or your brothers were watching them. Your brother was watching.
Yeah, I would say that they're watching them. They're going through like their kind of horror boom moment.
So, but yeah, it was an extension of you wanting to do stuff with your older brother and not being pushed away.
You have no idea how much I resented the being pushed away part. At least my sister really was just like, it's all right, I'll let you watch or do whatever. Not the best thing to do for a sibling is 10 years younger than you, but
yeah,
no, I got the door slammed in my face quite a few times with Matt.
I bet. No, but that's, yeah, that's the plight of all the little brothers and sisters. I was that asshole.
He said that I was, he would call me a baby. He was like, oh, you're a baby, you can't watch this, it's going to scare you, and you're going to cry, and it's going to blame me. But it didn't stop him from trying to, like, freak me out by it.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though I was a baby.
It's because children are sadists.
We really are.
Yeah.
I like how I put myself into the we. I was. Now I'm a sadist as an adult, you know. It just kept going.
But yeah, you see, you unfortunately didn't have any smaller siblings to torment. But you have nieces now.
And cousins and stuff.
Okay. You had cousins that were younger?
Yeah, I used to babysit one, and I would like to say she thanked me. I believe I already told you, because she's a nurse now.
And oh, really?
I got her to be very adjusted to blood.
Why? Did you bleed her occasionally?
I was going through my horror movie phase while I was babysitting her, and I didn't do it. Like, when she would, I would wait till she would go to bed, supposedly, but I guess, you know, if you're a babysitter.
So she saw some of the movies that you were watching? This is when you were, what, a teenager or younger?
Yeah, I would say like 14 years old, which plays into also the weird 90s thing, or really wasn't 90s then, but she's actually only a couple years younger than me, so why I was in charge of this person is odd, but whatever.
You know, a couple of years makes a difference at that age.
Yeah, like I'm a slightly bigger kid. I know how to call 911.
Sure.
But
that's what, you know, parents do that to teach their kids responsibility and stuff. I mean, you're supposed to be learning something too.
I think the lesson learned is I am the least responsible person, and I've never been asked to babysit for anyone in my family ever again.
Really? That was the only time you babysat?
I spent a summer babysitting my sister Melissa's kids, like, when I was older, but I wasn't asked back to do that either.
Wow, what did you do to those children?
I have a very carefree, yeah, you could watch that. Yeah, you could do that. I know.
Did you teach them bad words like Chucky does with Andy?
No, the only... My sister swears like a sailor, so she's responsible for her kids swearing. I actually thought it was hilarious when he was like, my nephew Carter was like 2 years old and was like, oh, fuck. And I was like, yeah, that's on you. That's not on me.
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves a small child swearing.
It's hilarious.
What's not to love?
I think that might have been the most lovable part about our little kid in this movie. I was actually going to ask, where do we rank this kid in horror movies?
He's kind of annoying. He's babyish. He's, you know, he's cute, but, like, he's so needy. So needy.
Doesn't he have any friends?
No, he has no friends. And he's, you know, he lost his father. I mean, this movie's basically about grief. Mm-hmm. You know? because his, you know, he thinks his father will come back, you know, through the doll. Basically,
daddy issues.
Yeah, a lot of daddy issues and you know, single mom issues. And his insane attachment to this creepy show, you know. And it was inspired by a lot of shitty 80s marketing. Yeah, there was this doll called My Buddy that was a direct inspiration to this. Cabbage Patch. Yeah, and Cabbage Patch Kids and all the shit that they foisted on kids in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what these guys were inspired by that wrote this story, you know?
I want to look up what that doll looks like now. Wait, what was it called?
My Buddy.
My Buddy.
Yep. He goes everywhere I go. I think that was the tagline. My buddy, he had a song.
Oh, that just freaked me out. That is like the same exact outfit.
Yeah.
What the
No,
hell?
No, they, yeah, they, I mean, the movie's about grief and loss and about like crass 80s commercialism, you know?
It looks like this is a big doll too.
Yeah, he was a pretty big doll. Yeah, I mean, it was way too late for me to have anything like this, you know. I mean, in the 80s, I was a teenager, so, you know.
It would have spoken to if you had any daddy issues, if you carried that doll around. It would have been hilarious.
Yes, but this, yeah, this little Andy has a lot of fucking issues. So that's why it works so well that, like, nobody believes him, like, that he's saying all this shit about... Well, including that, what auntie, what was the woman's name?
Let me see.
Like Jeanette or Jeannie was a bitch, you know, like at the beginning.
Didn't he say like she had what was coming to her or something?
Yeah. Yeah, because that's what Charles Lee Ray said to her. And I looked it up. Charles Lee Ray, you know, named after the three, Charles Manson, Lee Harvey Oswald, and James Earl Ray.
Really?
That's how they came up with that name, yeah. Three of the most famous killers of the 20th century, you know.
Good on this movie for really doing this research.
Yeah, these guys knew what they were doing. You know, it was not. You know, it wasn't just dumb slasher shit. And
I was really curious, of course, how they were going to make the doll come to life. I thought maybe they just were going to accidentally have a possessed doll that was just naturally that way. That was a very interesting, like,
oh, yeah,
how he actually came to possess the doll. I wasn't sure how that was going to happen.
The voodoo, yeah. Yep. And of course, having Brad Dourif as the killer was fantastic. Because he's a great actor,
mm-hmm.
in many things, including Blue Velvet, John Huston's Wise Blood. He was in. He's been in a lot of stuff.
And Brad Dourif. He played Grima Wormtongue in Lord of the Rings. But you said you won't hold that against him.
Yeah, that's okay. Like, guy's got to work, you know?
he was fairly old at that time. You know, Two Towers came out, like, the late aughts, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Brad Dourif is still alive. He's got to be in his, maybe even 70s by now, 60s, 70s by now.
Yeah, but he doesn't exactly have a camera-friendly face, so you got to get whatever work
he's
you
gotta,
can get.
He's got a distinctive face. Yeah, he usually played bad guys, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly what his face is. And he was a bad guy in Two Towers.
Another memorable Brad Dourif role is he was in this great Werner Herzog movie called Wild Blue Yonder, where it's just him, and he plays an alien who's stranded on Earth. And he wants to get back to his home planet, but his home planet is just nature footage of, like, underwater scenes.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. And it's like a very little scene, lesser known Werner Herzog movie. It's fantastic.
I know that we're going to go talk about Scout again.
Oh, yeah?
He's in the remake of Halloween. He's in the Rob Zombie Halloween movies.
Oh, Brad Dourif?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's one of these guys that you hire because he's got this face, you know?
Yeah.
With the bulging eyes. He was also in a movie, a Tobe Hooper movie, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre guy. He made this movie called Spontaneous Combustion,
mm-hmm.
in the early 90s, and he's the star of that. That's a fun movie.
I want to see, apparently he is a star in The Exorcist 3. I never had any interest in watching that one until I found out that it was Jeffrey Dahmer's favorite movie.
And now you want to see it?
The weird intrigue. What? I just want to know, like, what is it that pulled a crazy serial killer into that movie? Isn't it ironic, though? A guy who plays, like, a crazy-as-fuck serial killer who possesses a doll and you just said was inspired by three very famous serial killers acted in a movie that was one of the worst serial killers, like, favorite films?
You know, life imitates art.
It's also meta, as they would say in Scream.
Sure. Yeah, you know, you got to find your inspiration wherever, you know.
It's the same. Movies don't create psychos. Movies make psychos more creative.
Right. There you go. Yeah. So thanks, Brad Dourif, for giving what's his face, Dahmer, some game, some panache.
Yeah, apparently he would make his victims watch parts of Exorcist 3 before he killed them.
Well, Jeffrey Dahmer was just—he was trying to make friends.
Just like the little kid in this movie, he was lonely, and he equally relied on Brad Dourif. Right? I made that tie.
If you met Brad Dourif, you would rely on him too. Why not?
Yeah, I'd be like, you seem like a really reliable guy. If I were walking around in those dark ass, seedy streets of Chicago at that time, I would totally be like, you're the protector, right? You're the safe one.
This is also, we can talk about what great use this movie makes of Chicago. I mean, and for once, it's a movie that honors the geography of Chicago, uses it correctly. So you can look up, I think I sent you a link.
Yeah, I've been looking through that.
To my friend Noah's Chicago screenshots thing about Child's Play. And all those things, I mean, they don't say the exact addresses, but it's where they're supposed to be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not rearranged the way they do all the time. So the big shootout happens at Wabash and Van Buren. And you can look it up from the 80s, and it's in the exact right place. And their apartment building is at Diversey and Pine Grove. And it's an old apartment building that actually exists, you know? And I appreciate that. And the mom gets off the Diversey bus to go home. So details like that matter to me, you know?
I don't know. I would say late 80s, early 90s Chicago films, they had a very distinctive look where I didn't even need to know it took place in Chicago. I immediately was just like, that's Chicago. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, Henry is a little bit earlier than this, but it's got that too, you know?
Exactly.
You can tell it's Chicago. Yeah.
Like, it's undeniable. Now, if a movie's filmed in Chicago, it'll take me a bit to be like, right, okay. It's our
Well, story. Now, I mean, more often than not, now they film stuff here not to represent Chicago. It stands in for whatever other cities,
Gotham,
you know?
And shit.
Like Empire was shot here, but it was supposed to be New York, you know, which is very strange.
New York, I think, is really expensive to film in.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. Or like you have these shows like Shameless that really fuck up the geography.
Yeah.
For no apparent reason. Movies that just show the L passing over or Wrigley Field or all the cliche shit, you know?
Yeah, shouts out for not showing Wrigley Field. That was a nice change.
Yeah, and there are L tracks in this movie, but it's like where the bums are, like underneath the tracks. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that is more like real Chicago.
That is typically where one would find them. Now they're more like at highway underpasses, but yeah. Depending on your neighborhood.
Yeah.
The thing that gave me, you know, obviously suspension of disbelief when it comes to films like this, I was bothered by
you don't think that real dolls can come to life and become killers?
Like, no. If I totally pretend that that's not an issue, like, if I'm just like, okay, this is just a doll.
What bothered you?
That he got to bring a toy to school? When I saw that, I was just like, the fuck? Like,
Maybe it's special because it was his birthday. I don't know.
And then also, nobody saw that kid slip out. And then three, nobody on that L thought it was weird that a tiny little dude with the doll that's slightly bigger than him are like sitting on the L.
Well, this is, we're going back to the latchkey era, you know? And this is, you know, he's got a single mom because the dad is dead. Yeah, shit happens. I mean, in the early 80s, This is a subject that just came up. I went to see my parents like a few weeks ago. We were like talking about when me and Boris were children. She would let me just take him. I was 10 and he was 7, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I would take him play. Like we went, I decided I needed to go to the mall, which was like 5 miles away. We walked through the streets, you know, because I wanted to get some fucking toy or something. And yeah, I mean, later, like they would have taken, DCFS would have taken us away, you know, for that shit.
Oh, but they get weirded out, like, if a kid's, like, playing on their own at, like, a playground, and they look like they're under, like, 10.
Yeah, these standards have changed drastically about, so.
Like, I'm not trying to say this generation is weak, but it's one of those, you guys have no idea how fun it is just to not have your parents, like, helicoptering it.
Yeah. And it's strange because, you know, we know all these statistics. It used to be much more dangerous than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
But the surveillance is like a thousandfold. Well, the increase in technology accounts for some of it, you know. So if you have 24-hour news cycle, you think that like every city is a war zone, you know.
And there are pedophiles everywhere. Yeah.
Right, in black vans, yeah, you know? Just waiting to take your child.
I have no idea how many times I have heard those stories. And I'm just
the black
like,
van?
Yeah, and I was like, you know what? Like, this is not like that one Ethan Hawke film where, like, he is that guy who's kidnapping kids.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really don't think that we've got that going on right now.
No. I didn't have a problem with the kid running away and riding on the subway. I would ditch school. Like, maybe not quite that young, but not that much later. I would run out.
See, that again comes to another thing, because my mom worked at my school.
Yeah, well, see, this is why maybe you have a harder time believing it, because you couldn't get away with shit like that.
Yeah, like, she would know. They'd be like, where's Mallory?
But
and
really,
like, where the fuck did she go?
Look, if you're going to a public school, and I assume, yeah, this kid was just going to a regular school. There's
Did
so many fucking
look like
kids.
She
and
had money, like seriously.
What?
Did the mom look like she had money? Public school. All the
she
way.
Was working. She had to work through her son's birthday because her asshole boss like made her stay late, which is why like the friend got killed instead of the mom. The mom could have gotten killed. You know what I mean? If you think about it, say they had their birthday party, like or whatever she was planning to do, the mom could have gotten killed.
You know, it's a very funny thing. I watched it about a week ago, and mm-hmm. it's just like how you say that, like, details kind of fade. Mm-hmm. I can't remember why he killed. I think her name is Maggie.
Maggie. Oh,
I know the bitch had it coming, but what did she do to have it coming?
Well, she wouldn't let him watch the news. Do you remember? So she made them go.
The news, yeah.
He turned on, he told Andy to turn on the news, and she's like, no, it's bedtime, you can't watch, you gotta go. And he's brushing his teeth, Andy's brushing his teeth, and then Maggie sees that the doll is watching the TV, and she, of course, assumes reasonably that Andy has done this, you know, and blames him and drags the doll back.
Mm.
And that's what, that's
how dare
what,
she manhandle that doll?
Well, he wants to hear the story about himself, you know. We don't know, they don't know this yet, you know, but he's trying to watch the story of him on the evening news.
Less him and more the vengeful, how did Caputo get out?
Yeah, he wants to see what the guy that left him, because he needs to take revenge. He wants to know where he is.
And revenge he got. Andy was one gullible little fucker.
Yeah, but she just got in his way, and he was a true psychopath. So, you know, he didn't have any of this finesse, or like he wasn't trying to make friends like Jeffrey Dahmer. He just was out to kill people.
Exactly.
He was an old fashioned. He was the old school kind of serial killer. Not these wussy serial killers like Jeffrey Dahmer.
What is it? Didn't they call him like the Strangler or something?
Yeah. He was like the Strangler. Yeah.
Which, ironically, he really didn't strangle people that much in this movie.
Well, how could he? He didn't have he had limited means.
Hands. Yeah,
he had to be resourceful. That's one resourceful ass a serial killer in a doll's body, like the things he figured out to make it work.
Well, you know, you have to be on your feet when it comes to that. Although, Jesus, I didn't see the voodoo thing coming either. That was fun.
No. Oh, it's great. It's this movie's like the perfect amount trashy and kind of sick. And it's got a sense of humor like the whole way through, like a dark, pretty dark sense of humor.
That's why it didn't freak me out at all. And I felt actually really annoyed where I was just like, why was I afraid of this?
It was just the creepy doll thing.
Yeah, and, I guess practical jokes didn't work with me.
And yeah, the effects are good. I mean, there's a lot of puppetry and then others. I read up sometimes in some of the shots, it was children dressed up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or little people, like, little, but it used a variety, and there's a lot of puppeteers. They used a lot of stuff, a lot of different stuff. So he looks different in different shots, you know, which is fine. It totally works, but it would be so much worse if it was CGI, you know.
I shudder to think about it. Apparently, there is a TV series now on Peacock.
There's a show, and then there was a reboot. They remade it a couple of years ago, which I don't know why.
Looking into it, and I think Mark Hamill was somehow involved in that one.
Really?
Yeah, I think he did a voice.
Is he the voice of Chucky?
Let me see.
Luke Skywalker as Chucky?
I know he did the voice of Joker in one of the cartoons of.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. But, like, this is definitely one of those cases of totally unnecessary to remake.
I want to watch this remake, though. It has Aubrey Plaza, and Mark Hamill is Chucky. I'm intrigued. I'll watch it. No one had to sell me on it. I'm here for it.
Okay, well, you'll tell me about it, because I'm not watching it.
I mean, it's probably terrible, but...
Yeah, I bet it's awful. Because they're going to amp up the technology, you know, which almost always makes these movies these things worse.
I'm sure that there will be CGI and shit.
Yeah. Yeah. But this movie has a bunch of sequels, too. The only one I really remember is the one we mentioned before with Jennifer Tilly as the bride of Chucky. But
I think that might have been the most commercialized one other than Child's Play.
Yeah.
Like the most advertised, like I think it's like everybody knows that one.
it's a good one. It's consistently watchable, you know, this movie. It doesn't wear out its welcome. It's not 3 hours long.
I don't think I ever got bored. It's funny, we were going to watch, like, solely Christmas movies, but when Belent found out that you wanted to watch Child's Play, he was like, fuck that, we're watching Child's Play. I know, shocked. He liked a horror movie. And occasionally he would do this, like, pattering on the table, and I was like, the fuck are you doing? He's like, I'm preparing you for the movie. I was like, what does this have to do with it? And then, obviously, you know, just kind of like in Friday the 13th, there's like the ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch.
Yeah.
The pattering of Chucky running around.
Yeah, the little feet.
I like how the detective wanted to match Andy's feet based off of
that was his great Columbo, like Sherlock Holmes moment. He thinks the kid killed his babysitter, threw her out the window.
It was impressive, but yeah.
But that's sort of their assumption, you know. He's locked. He's being evaluated by shrinks and stuff to be a Jeffrey Dahmer or a Damien or something.
It's better safe than sorry in that situation.
Yeah, but also, you know, the mom comes home and, you know, tells all the cops to leave, and they all leave, and there's like a gaping hole in her fucking living room, in her kitchen, you know?
And life is totally like back. She puts the doll back in his bed.
I know. It's fantastic.
It's like, yeah, good night. Everything's fine. My our best friend is just murdered. It's okay. We're all good. Mm-hmm. Oh, you could take your doll to school tomorrow. That's fine.
Yeah. I did. I mean, the kids are, this is an okay kid. I mean, he, you know, where he realizes that his mom won't believe him about what Chucky's telling him.
And like, didn't Chucky say that he would kill him if you said?
Yeah. No, but like, and he said, yeah, see, yeah, Chucky told me you wouldn't believe me. Like, okay, I'm making it up, mommy. Yeah.
Well, Chucky did know because Chucky's a grown ass man in a doll's body.
Yes.
And he was quite pissed when he found out that him slowly was going to turn into a human.
He was, but he was like, oh, great, now I'm going to be a six-year-old. Fuck.
You know, it's funny that you say that. He seemed more excited about that aspect. Yeah,
he sort of, like, but he was like, all right, well, now I know what I got to do. But, well, I guess you can look at it a couple of ways. I mean, on the other hand, he, you know, if he's successful in inhabiting Andy's body, he gets to live a whole long life.
Yeah, and then...
And kill lots more people, because that's his job, I guess, is just to kill people. Yeah, I mean, like...
What else are you supposed to do if you're a serial killer? That is literally your main job.
Charles Lee Ray, yeah, he's a very single-minded serial killer. He doesn't really have any other hobbies or interests, except like for killing.
He's not doing it for any purpose, it would appear.
Yeah, he just wants to... It's just the thing he does. It's his vocation. It's killing.
But I do love the idea that, like, someone who looked like such a seedy, weird as shit serial killer actually, like, was being advised by a voodoo guy.
Yeah, that the apartment was great with all the murals.
Mm-hmm.
With the paintings that he made. Worshipping the voodoo guy.
Why did the voodoo guy have a voodoo doll of himself?
Good question.
That's one of the other valid things where I was just like annoying Boo at that point. I was the person talking back at the TV.
It was there so they could have the scene of him breaking his legs without touching him.
You know? We need the voodoo guy to die, I guess, but...
Yes.
It bothered me where I was like, who keeps a voodoo doll of themselves? What?
And I'm also glad they didn't demonize the voodoo guy. The voodoo guy redeemed himself on his deathbed, you know, because he explained to the mom what she needed to do, you know? Otherwise, there was no way they would have ever known, you know?
And it's left kind of up in the air whether he really knew... Chucky's real intentions. Like, maybe he didn't exactly know he was a serial killer. We don't know.
No. He told him in that scene. He's like, you've perverted. Like, you've ruined all this magic. You know, this magic is not meant to do what you did with it. You know.
Yeah. Well, that's what gave me the vibe that like he was unaware of how dark Charles was.
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't the bad guy, the voodoo priest.
Because he just didn't seem the type who would be like, here, let me give you this amazing power. I trust you with it, creepy serial killer. You'll do the right thing.
Yeah, he didn't want to make a supernatural serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember in the sequels if they ever... I'm sure there's some kind of prequel or backstory thing where they figure out, they explain why, how this guy makes friends with a voodoo priest, you know?
I would love that. That would be such a fun story for me.
I'm sure that's in at least one of... I mean, there's like six or seven of these movies, so...
And a whole TV series and reboots. They seem to really love Chucky.
Yeah, now that you've conquered your fear of Chucky, you can just go crazy with... in the lore of Chucky.
It definitely is a thing where, like, I really liked the idea, but when I look at all the reboots, I'm like, I'll watch Bride of Chucky, and now this reboot looks interesting, but I don't like sequels a lot.
What? Miss Scream doesn't like sequels?
Scream is, like, the only franchise that, like, I'm just like, I will keep going to see Scream. Except now. Now it's out of everyone's hands, it would appear. No more Scream, it seems.
Oh, they'll make more. They're interchangeable. Like, those actors are interchangeable.
Well,
now that they've killed off all the original ones.
Well, hey, Neve Campbell was not killed off, but she said she won't return.
Yeah, that's what she says now. Like, they throw enough money at her, she'll come back.
I don't know. We'll see. If her and Matthew Lillard come back, I'll be there. Yeah.
That's what it'll take?
It would have to take that. I got my nieces into Scream 2. I feel so proud. I'm just like, yes, I got you all into it. They had a Scream-a-thon at their house, and they were messaging me the whole time. They're like, I understand why you love this film. And I was like, thank you, finally.
See, you're a good babysitter after all. Yeah. Or whatever. Good older influence.
I really can't stand sequels for the most part. I just heard that there's going to be a Gladiator sequel, shit like that. I was just like, why? Why do they do that?
Yeah, I don't remember. I'm pretty sure I saw Chucky 2, Child's Play 2. How they get? They pan away at the end of Child's Play. You know, you're supposed to shoot him in the heart, and that kills him. But like. The doll piece was still there, and they leave the room. So I assume that leaves the door open for it to somehow stay alive and inhabit somebody, you know, find another doll body or something. I don't remember how they transfer it to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they leave it available, you know, in this one.
There is this one line I like in Scream 2, which, again, is meta. But yeah, like they say, the entire horror genre was destroyed by sequels, and I definitely vibe that. Because how many Friday the 13ths are there? How many Nightmare on Elm Streets? Like, lots.
Yeah.
Obviously, well, there's many Exorcist and Amityville horror movies.
Yep. And you watch them all. I don't. I don't watch most of them, but you do.
I'm not sure what happened with Amityville Horror. That one just clicked with me, and I think I was just bored.
See, you say you hate these sequels, but you watch them.
But I haven't watched any of the other ones. I attempted to watch the prequel to The Exorcist, which I found out that there are two prequels, and same actors, basically same storyline. They switched directors halfway through, and they're like, shit, let's have this director finish it. And, like, yeah, they had two director versions of the exact same movie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so...
Well, I think Friedkin only made the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just one of those genres, but for the most part, yeah, not a fan of crazy sequels. Yeah. There are exceptions to the rule.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what else. I mean, the creepy doll genre, there was some before. I mean, there was a Twilight Zone, I think, which was one of Twilight Zone's story, I think, which is one of the inspirations for this. And I mean it goes on, you know, up to, you know, Megan this year, you know.
The one Megan that freaks my shit out the most is
what?
Well, one is about to freak me out the most, and I probably will watch it, even though I know it will freak me out. It's called Imaginary. And, yeah, a little girl, she becomes best friends with a teddy bear.
That's a new one, Imaginary?
Yeah, it comes out March, I think.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, Megan is definitely a descendant of Chucky. I mean, because she's a smart ass, you know?
It would appear that Imaginary, like this teddy bear, is going to have similar vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Based on the preview I saw. I've seen a lot of trailers the last couple weeks because I have that AMC pass. So.
Oh, yeah.
That trailer keeps regurgitating every single time.
And scarier than any trailer or horror movie, you get to keep seeing Nicole Kidman and all her plastic surgery.
What the
I hate
fuck?
That fucking PSA so much.
Boo and I have gotten to a point, or anyone I go with, are just like, shut the fuck up every single time that happens. Like, get her off of that screen now.
Well, it was all because of pandemic. You know, that's why they.
But it was our like asses to welcome, are back welcome in the back, seat.
Welcome people back to the movies. But like, yeah, they really need to retire that. I hate that thing.
I know. I mean, it's one of those like I really liked it. Like I wouldn't say really liked it, but like I was just like, this is all right, an all right idea in the beginning years ago.
Once, yeah, it's been a couple of years now that they've had it in front of every movie.
And AMC keeps celebrating its 100-year anniversary that happened 3 years ago.
Sure.
Time means nothing to them.
Not too much. Not too much.
I pulled a Dimitri the other day.
Well, you left a movie early or what?
Yep.
Which one?
Napoleon. I decided to give it another shot.
Oh.
I made it to the burning of Moscow. And I was just like, all right, this is all I need to see. And I just left.
Oh, funny.
I took my popcorn with me. That was the plus. But,
yeah. Oh, that's funny.
I'm not the only person who like was leaving that theater. I saw one couple and they were like, this is bullshit, and they got up like within 15 minutes and I was like,
that's fine,
they might be weirder history nerds than I am. Whoa.
I thought it was a great movie.
To each their own, I guess.
Yep. Well, you can wait for the 4-hour Apple streaming version.
Maybe it'll fill in those gaps, who knows, but it's definitely not my favorite movie of the year.
Well, that's, you know, you can't. What's your favorite movie of the year? Do you have one?
Well, see, it comes down to me being a really big dork, but I really like the Hunger Games movie. But that would never appeal to you because you're a grown ass man and you never actually would have connected to any of those characters.
No, I'm not seeing the Hunger Games movie. I did add
Killers of the Flower Moon was surprisingly good.
Why surprisingly?
I don't know. I guess I got tired of Martin Scorsese. And I was just like, how many other films? And the trailer kind of misled me where I thought it was going to be a white savior thing.
Which is good. Which makes it a good trailer. So many trailers. My big beef with trailers is they give away the whole movie.
I will say that the best movies would be Hunger Games, Killers of the Flower Moon, and I don't care what anybody says, Barbie movie.
Why would anybody fight you on the Barbie movie is the most successful movie of the year. I mean, like, people love the Barbie movie. It's stuff for right-wing assholes, you know? Like,
I will say, I don't know if it's a sexist thing or people are just like, you can't take it seriously because it's about Barbies, but it's like, no, that was a great movie. Like, that was really good.
Yeah, I think the Barbie movie is one of the best movies. I don't know if I could pick one best movie.
There was one movie I saw last week that I'd never heard of it, but Belen had. It was called The Holdovers.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was shockingly like good.
You like that?
I would say that it was pleasing.
Yeah, I thought it was about 45 minutes too long.
There were moments.
But I love Paul Giamatti, and you know,
it's hard for me to pass up Paul Giamatti.
But I really think they should have fucked.
Yeah,
I think there was a thing there.
I feel like that's something you would think. Yeah,
it was. I think it indulged a little too hard in this kind of nostalgia period piece thing. You know,
I spent way too long researching whether the used film or like if it was a digital thing. It was digital.
But they showed it on film. I saw it at the Music Box on film. So really? They made prints, yeah.
But yeah, they didn't shoot it on film. They used digital.
That's prohibitively expensive now. Like, it's so fucking expensive to do that, you know?
Especially with an indie movie. I would count that as an indie movie.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, it's on the cusp of. I mean, that guy's made a bunch of, you know, small successful movies, and I don't. Yeah, it's one of his better ones, You know, Sideways is probably the best thing he ever made, I think.
I will say I haven't seen that yet.
You haven't seen Sideways?
Everyone has that exact response when I say that.
Watch that. But yeah, he's made like 6-7 movies or something.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander Payne, yeah.
Well, he obviously likes Paul Giamatti.
He's got other. He has other prominent actors. You know. He's got one with George Clooney. He's got one with Jack Nicholson. He's got one with Bruce Dern.
Right now, I would say, those are my three favorite movies of the
year. Oh, so The Holdovers is one of your favorite movies of the year?
It was a shockingly pleasing movie. I wouldn't say it's my favorite. I was going to say Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Hunger Games.
And Hunger Games?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hunger Games would never appeal to you, though. I know that.
No. Probably my favorite movie of the year is this movie called Showing Up with Michelle Williams.
I haven't heard of that one.
It's directed by Kelly Reichardt, she's a great director, but it's about, Michelle Williams plays this artist and they're in this like artist colony and she's in this kind of passive aggressive war with her landlord / kind of, sort of frenemy, mm-hmm. who's also an artist. And it all takes place in this little like artist colony. And it shows the way artists are, like, more accurately than almost any movie I've ever seen. Like, how artists are, like, when they're not making art, how ill-equipped they are to just handle everyday shit. It's so good.
I will have to find that one.
Showing Up. Yeah. I don't know if it should be streaming somewhere.
It would appear to be, you have to buy it everywhere.
Yeah. But every Kelly Reichardt movie is worth seeing. Michelle Williams is in a couple of, two, three of them. Wendy and Lucy, about her and her dog. That's a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
And, the star of Killers of the Flower Moon is in one of Kelly Reichardt's movie called Certain Women. That's a good one. Meek's Cutoff is good. First Cow is good. Like pretty much every Kelly Reichardt movie is worth seeing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we know what we're.
So Showing Up is my big recommendation, and nobody saw that movie. It was in the theaters for a week, you know.
Yeah, I feel like everybody saw my movies, so.
Yeah, there's a couple. Yeah, I don't know what I have some other. I have a bunch. Well, yeah, since I joined Letterboxd, I'm keeping better track of what I watch.
You'd be surprised how many people are still fanboying over Oppenheimer.
Oh yeah, they love that shit. But yeah, that's definitely my worst movie of the year. I'll say that.
Yeah, I'll put that in there. Yeah.
Yeah, I have. Let me see here. I have a running list of 2023 releases. So I have 10 worst movies and 33 movies that I liked so far. Another one I really liked was, what's that movie? Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret? That was a good one.
I'd like to say I looked up Dmitry Samarov letterbox and right beneath you is Scout Tafoya.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Okay. Yes. There's a bunch. I liked a bunch of movies this year. Anatomy of a Fall is a really good one.
You have a lot.
Yeah, Megan. May December is great. That just came out. May December, it's a Todd Haynes movie. That's really, really good with Natalie Portman and what's her face? Julianne Moore. That's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another favorite. But I'm not really big on, picking the best because they're not really, all these movies are doing different things, but
And I know that anything I love isn't going to get awards, and awards are now meaningless.
Yes. Totally meaningless. Yeah, when, yeah, you know, what's his face is probably going to win every, the Oppenheimer guy is going to win a bunch of awards.
Aw, yeah, that is pretty accurate.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, maybe Lily Gladstone will win some stuff.
I'm hoping, yeah.
She should. She was in a great movie earlier this year called The Unknown Country, and it's an indie movie. It's about her on a road trip. You should look that one up. It's really good.
What was it again? Unknown Country?
Unknown Country, yeah. The Unknown Country. It's just basically her on a road trip, and she's sort of grieving. Her grandmother passes away, and she's taking a trip across kind of from Minnesota to Texas, I think. I reviewed that one for the Reader. It's really good.
Definitely looks like my kind of film.
Yeah. She just won some award for that. The awards have started already. Oh, that's another one. That movie Reality about Reality Winner. That's an HBO movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good.
I just got HBO, so I could watch that.
Check that one out. Yeah.
Yeah. So is there anything else that, like, with Child's Play we could, like, hit home with? Or you think we got it all?
I think we got most of it. Yeah. I think so. I think so. Thank Chris Sarandon for giving Susan Sarandon a last name, a professional name, you know?
Yeah.
Being her ex-husband. It's not really that great an actor, but...
I liked him as Leon in Dog Day Afternoon.
What?
I liked him as Leon in Dog Day Afternoon.
Yeah, he had his moments. It's true. Yeah, that's true. That was a good one.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's good in this. He's like an appropriately abrasive, dismissive cop, you know?
Who else is he supposed to be in that situation?
Yeah, that's true. Especially since he's so fucking responsible for not actually killing the serial killer like he thinks he did, you know?
That was definitely an, oh, I fucked up. But like, I don't know, the fact that like,
would
the kid know the name right away? And he kind of was just like, that's kind of creepy, probably thinking in his head, but did not put it together still, or was in denial.
See, earlier you were blaming Maggie, but I would blame Chris Sarandon, you know?
Yeah, I'd say they're both.
He's to blame.
But see, Chris Sarandon, he tried to do the right thing.
Eventually.
Yes. And in the beginning, he had no idea that he had voodoo powers.
Yeah, he was pretty sure it was Andy.
Yeah. Meanwhile, my lesson is don't buy shit from hobos on the street.
Yeah. Oh, so you're gonna stop doing that now?
I ever did, but you know, just
keep that in mind. The Christmas season is upon us, so you got to go find some hobos to buy some shit for you. Do you have to buy a lot of presents?
Don't go alone though. Because obviously the hobos are getting up on you.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, you know what? Andy's sort of to blame because he's being like a little bitch on his birthday and giving his mom a hard time because she couldn't afford this fucking overpriced doll.
So
it's like, be careful what you wish for.
Where he's like slightly a little bitch. Like, not totally.
Yeah, he's kind of a bitch because... You know, like all mom can afford is like the good guy tool set or whatever she got him, mm-hmm. not the fucking doll.
Yeah. So, as a kid growing up, I kind of knew not to talk shit about what gift I got. I don't know if that was something that you were raised with, but
how often? Oh yeah, how often were you disappointed?
There is always one that always stuck out in my head.
What was that?
I wanted a train set.
A train set?
Yeah.
And your dad said that's only for boys or what?
Yep, basically.
Oh, really?
He to
wow,
this day.
Wow, I can't believe I guessed it.
it is still like that was for boys. And it's like, fuck you. And then I wanted a chemistry set at one point. And apparently that's also only for boys. And then he asks why I did bad in science. And it's like, apparently only boys are good at that.
Yeah, science isn't for girls. Come on.
Instead, he got me a perfume making set when I was like 10 years old. And I was like, the fuck am I supposed to do with this?
Weird. Yeah. So you can, it can inspire you to become a girl boss, and
that obviously worked out so amazingly for me. No, yeah. That gift of set up a sweatshop
for your fragrance.
My siblings complained about that one because I made too many horrible smelling things in the basement. So,
oh Jesus, yeah, you make like scratch and sniff or something out of it.
It became a thing where, like, seriously, going back to Dahmer, it was one of those, like, a very foul odor was slowly coming out of the basement. And they're like, Mallory needs to get rid of this toy now. Like, no, she doesn't get it.
So, yeah, so that blew up in his face, huh?
Yeah, that blew up in his face. And to this day, they both know, don't tell us the train set. It's like, okay, as long as you know. I'm still holding on to that grudge.
Yeah, I'm sure I was disappointed by some presents, but I also, you know, like when I was little, my parents didn't have that much money. So, I mean, like my brother, you know, we both had bar mitzvahs and he got like 10 times as much money as I did.
Ooh.
Like literally within 3 years, like all my parents and their friends like really came up in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a huge difference.
I would say that all my older siblings had it better, but, you know.
Really?
It's because my parents obviously stretched themselves financially more and more with each kid they had.
Really?
Yeah, so by the time I came along, me and my brother Matt, the youngest two, we just kind of were like, we get the broke-ass parents.
Oh, interesting.
And it was definitely understood that my parents had to buy gifts for 5 kids, and don't bitch about what you're getting or you're not getting something.
Did you get a lot of hand-me-downs?
Yes, I did. Which didn't work out, especially when it came to clothes, because I am obviously a much smaller individual than my sisters.
Oh, everybody else in your family's bigger?
Yeah. I think I told you, my sister Melissa is almost 6 feet tall.
Oh, is she? I forget.
And my other sister, I'll say it. It's not like the right thing to say. It's awkward, but it's true. She has huge tits. So those shirts never fit me right. Like I could never wear those.
Like, but she's more of your size though. Otherwise,
height wise, she's 5'6". Yeah. So that is a close.
She's still taller. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm an anomaly. I don't know. And for some reason, if my family's drunk too much at a holiday, they kind of rediscover that I'm short.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Do they turn you into a good guy doll and set you on their laps?
I feel like they're always one step away from it. But, like, I do remember 1 year, like, my sister, who was very wasted, was leaving. Don't worry, she wasn't the one driving. And we don't wear shoes in the house. And she went to pick up her shoes, and she picked up mine. And she was like, oh, my God, Mallory, you have such tiny-ass fucking feet. And then, like, she brought my shoe for everyone to see. Like, look at her little feet. And I was like, shut the fuck up. And she, tried to do kind of the child's play thing where she was like, put the shoe to my foot. And I was like, I get it. I have small feet.
This is clearly something you're holding on to that you haven't let go of.
Clearly not. That and the train set.
The little people. Maybe this year they'll get you a train set. Maybe I'll call them up and tell them to get you a train set. Yes. So you can die happy.
A train set and a Chucky doll, you know, to see what happens.
Yeah. I don't even know what... I mean, do kids get dolls anymore? They still make dolls, right?
You know,
do kids play with dolls? I don't know.
I don't really see a lot of toy stores anymore. I know they have sections on, like...
I mean, it's all online, but, like, I was surprised how little publicity there was about... Black Friday or any of that shit. They used to just bombard us, and now it's just like chill because everybody just pushes a button on their phone to buy crap, you know?
Yeah. What do they call them? Cyber Mondays?
Whatever, but like they used to just bombard us, you know, right around Thanksgiving with all the ads and stuff.
Yeah, those were the cutthroat like days when you'd be like, wow, this is a capitalistic country.
And you get all these news reports of people like, you know, traffic jams outside of malls and stuff.
People camping out.
I've heard much less about that this year than I did in previous years. I don't watch network TV or places with commercials. Although, I mean, where I watched Child's Play last night was one of these stupid, like, channels that have 500 commercials because I didn't want to pay for it.
Oh, we pirated it. We're millennials. Oh, you did? We're just like, we don't want to pay for it.
Yeah.
We did it the lazy way.
No, I watched it with the commercials, which was fine. I mean, because I had seen it before several times. So, but it was a good reminder, and it totally, like, it's a movie that's aged surprisingly well, you know? And I think part of it is that it's the practical effects. Practical effects just age better than CGI.
Because the CGI felt forced.
Yeah, the CGI always is like the next one is an improvement, so then the old one looks shitty. Whereas with dolls and all that and puppetry, it's just evergreen. People have been doing that forever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know it's a doll, but it's that like uncanny valley, and it's like a doll with a conscience.
And I don't know. I think it's definitely a fear a lot of people have growing up. I don't know.
The creepy doll thing that you had to conquer.
I had to conquer it, but...
Wait until you're in your 30s to watch this movie.
I probably would have... I don't even know if I would, like, was afraid of it now, but it was just one of those, shit, I guess I finally got to watch it.
No, and also, yeah, I think one of the other things that anchors the movie in a reality is that clearly, you know, this is a woman who's mourning the loss of her husband and a kid mourning the loss of her father. So there's this like emptiness, but it's filled, unfortunately, with a, you know, with a doll inhabited by a serial killer. So yeah, be careful what you plug that grief with, you know, in your life.
Lessons: don't buy shit from hobos. Don't try and replace your dead loved ones with a doll.
Don't replace daddy with a doll.
It'll just end in disaster, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You're either going to have really, like, a mentally fucked up kid or a kid with a serial killer doll.
I mean, if you think, actually, now that I think about it, I mean, there's Megan is a lot like, you know, that's another lonely kid.
Her parents dead?
Yeah, and the parents are dead, yeah. So it's really, really a descendant of Chucky.
It's a 21st century Chucky.
Yeah, it's the 21st century Chucky. That's why they don't... This is why, yeah, don't make reboots or sequels. Just reimagine shit, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that totally.
And they're... That's a rare movie where, like, the technology works, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's a very creepy effect, the Megan thing. And it's funny.
There's an unedited version. I keep wondering if I should watch that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, there is that thing where it's like, do I want to waste my time watching it? I don't know. It's just one of those, like, how much weirder could it be? Will it ruin it? I don't know.
What is it? Does it show, like, Megan having sex or something? Or, like, what is it?
I don't know. That's why I'm just like, should I? Like, I guess we'll see. And if I do see, I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me know, like, with the porn version of Megan or whatever.
Yeah, I guess we'll see whatever the hell she does this time. They did a great job at making Megan creepy as shit, so yeah.
Yeah, I laughed and laughed. I mean, like, it was a totally pleasing movie, that Megan, and it surprised me. I didn't have high expectations for it because, you know, when they market a thing like that, it's like, fuck, you know, this is going to be lame, but it wasn't.
It did look like it was going to be the dumbest thing ever. And then
yeah, and it wasn't.
And I was like, oh, this is surprisingly good. I love movies that are surprisingly good.
Yeah.
Where you go in and you're dragging your feet like, not really wanting to. You don't have that situation a lot, you know, because you.
Well, it also it came out early in the year when they release all the garbage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When they dump all the movies that they know are going to suck, and so it was also a surprise for that, you know. Definitely a shiny diamond in a sea of shit. That movie in that release cycle. So speaking of other movies, you have to choose one for us for next time. Do you have one?
I am between The Others and Little Otick.
Mm.
So you said that you knew where to find Little Otick, right?
Yeah, Little Otick was, I think I sent you a link. There was a, it's either on archive.org or on like Rare Films.
So
I'll find
that?
It again. You want to go with that one?
Yeah, I haven't seen it where I do think I've seen The Others. It's just not fresh in my mind.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, let's do Little Otick. I'm up for that. I'd like to rewatch it.
Oh, you've seen it already?
Oh, yeah.
Is Mallory going to like it?
I think so. It definitely continues the theme of like creepy inanimate objects come to life, and it's a kind of doll.